I love the colorful clothes you wear, and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. On the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitation. I'm picking up.
Hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here. In the world, I don't know where I was going after that, but welcome. Now, Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner operator of the Rota Psychic Fair, which is coming back to the Monterey Fairgrounds October 21st and 22nd. So go to rotapsychicfair.com, get on the email list, get signed up so you can be informed about the interim events that are going on, as well as the big annual event coming up at the Monterey Fairgrounds. It's a prelude to Halloween, and I think there's no greater time of the year than Halloween. So come on out and join us and join the spiritual community and have some fun. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and here at Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change that vibrational frequency of your life. So today, we're going to have a very special guest with us. But as you know, I like to start each show with a very special message from one of my favorite all-time essayists, and that's James Allen. Today, we're going to have the reading from Day by Day with James Allen. As you know, in 1903, James Allen wrote his essay, As a Man Thinketh, and he took the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. James Allen wanted us to know that our present reality is a direct outcome of our past thoughts, habits, beliefs, and actions. But our past thoughts, habits, beliefs, and actions don't predestine our future. You see, each day, we have a new opportunity to create a new future for each and every one of us by shifting our thoughts, our habits, our beliefs, and our actions. And in Day by Day with James Allen, his words have been carved up into a little segment for each day of the month. And today, being the 24th day of July on a very fast year, he tells us that problems bring lessons. As a progressive and evolving being, man is where he is that he may learn, that he may grow, and as he learns the spiritual lesson which any circumstance contains for him, it passes away and gives place to other circumstances. Now let's put that in another term. Every one of us has gone through periods of our life where we felt trauma, we felt sadness, we felt depression, we felt injury, we felt hurt, we felt wounded, we were sad, we were depressed, whatever it was, but it was difficult for us. It was a challenging time for us. The important thing to remember is that when each and every one of those times comes, that means it's followed, if we allow it, by a period of growth, where we get to move forward as a human being in ways that we would not have without being confronted with the circumstances presented to us. So what James Allen is telling us here, again, is problems bring lessons. As a progressive and evolving being, man is where he is that he may learn, that he may grow, and as he learns the spiritual lesson which any circumstance contains for him, it passes away and gives place to other circumstances. Anything negative that ever occurred has allowed you to grow to a fuller potential of yourself as the divine human being that you are. So if you're going through some challenges now, if you're going through some difficulties now, be patient, be loving, and be kind to yourself, and know that when you have the opportunity to see it in the rearview mirror, you'll have realized how much further you've grown in your own life. as the true divine being that you are. I always mention that there are several things that I do every day as a repeated pattern. One certainly is always to have a gratitude prayer and affirmation. The other one is to always do a forgiveness exercise, both for other people and for myself and for things I may have done to other people. And the third is to share a thought from the daily word, which brings us one of those positive little tidbits that we can then implant in ourselves for the day to help keep us focused on something positive as some of the daily challenges are presented to us. And today's daily word tells us, I am the divine love in expression. You see, every one of us is born divine with that light of the divine inside of us. And as Pierre Teilhard de Chardin told us, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. And our journey through life is becoming the best expression of our divine light. So when we recognize that we are divine love in expression, we can then look at how are we expressing, how are we connecting, and how are we creating that blanket of love going out from us to other people that we interact with throughout the day. Remember that. You don't have to use it just for today. It's for every day. You are divine love in expression. And I truly appreciate you joining us today to hear what we're going to share. And as long as we're going to take a little time to talk about what we're going to share, I want to share with you some of what's coming up for us astrologically through the rest of this week, leading toward the end of this month of July. As we've said earlier on the show, July is the first month of the manifesting cycle of the year. The first 6 months of every year are a creative cycle. Our intentions become more crystallized and we put them forward. And then starting in July, we start seeing the manifestation of what our real intentions were. We may not have been as conscious as we might have wanted to in what we were creating for our intentions, but what presents itself to you is presenting itself as an outcome of those intentions. And so when we talk about the challenges or problems bring further growth, keep in mind that whatever is presented to you is still an opportunity for growth. Over the weekend, we had several significant things happen that we mentioned last week, and I want to remind you is that the sun entered Leo on Saturday. So we are right in the host of that fire energy right now. Our sun is really telling us now is the time to get out of the doldrums, to get out of the introspection of our Cancer sun and move forward to that Leo sun, a little bit of a little preening, a little socializing, a little self-intention and getting outside of that cave you may have kept yourself in. Enjoy your summer. Yesterday, we had our new moon in Leo, and certainly it was at 2:45 a.m. here on the Pacific coast, and a new moon is always about new beginnings. But it had an extra punch because of that Leo energy. And you don't always need a plan for what you want to do, but it helps if you want a plan. But Leo is still willing to get out there and do what it needs to do. If you have found yourself stalled in this year because there have been so many push-pull energies and so many drags on moving forward, now is the time to allow yourself to feel the refreshed energy and to put yourself forward. Remember, as George Eliot, the famous novelist, said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. So allow yourself to get out there and take the steps and take the actions for the things you've been waiting on, whether it's a new career, a new relationship, a new business move, a new house, a new move to a new town, a new city, a new country, whatever you've been holding off on. This is a good time now to move yourself forward. And then today, Venus in Gemini is opposing Saturn in Sagittarius. So this is a conflict of energies going on right now. So if you look at all this powerful Leo energy we're in, I mean, we had Mars moved into Leo last week. We have all this other energy going on in Leo. you can also overdo it too much if you pushed yourself too much, if just woke up to that energy and ran out to tackle everything at once. This energy of Venus and Gemini opposing Saturn and Sagittarius is kind of a slowdown energy. Look at it as a form of speed bumps as you're allowing yourself to go forward. So if you've begun new projects and ventures with that forward-moving Leo, this transit can move you forward. But it could also set you back a little bit if you've been overconfident and underplanned or overcommitted in what you're trying to do. But if you've been managing yourself with some of the humility we've been talking about for these last several months to allow yourself to be humble in all situations, then you're going to find this transit will pass, pass very quickly with very little impact. So it's more of a stall. Not a halt, not a stop. If you find yourself stalled, don't panic, relax, breathe, and allow yourself to continue to plan on what your next steps are for moving forward. So it's a little bit like a, kind of like a wet blanket. Now, today's not a great day for love. It's not a touchy-feely, snuggle kind of day because everyone's going to feel kind of the Saturn boundaries being drawn around them. And they may feel a little dampened and pulled back. So you might find partnerships or relationships or team collaboration suddenly in that stall that we've talked about. So it's only going to last a few days. Then the Leo sun will shine again and you'll be fine. But just allow yourself to be, again, gentle, kind, and patient. Tomorrow, Tuesday at 4:41 p.m. Pacific time, Mercury, our planet of communication, will enter the Earth sign of Virgo. And Mercury likes Virgo since he rules both Gemini and Virgo. So Mercury's going to feel right at home. Now, the plus of this is that Mercury's main thought is main role is about our communications, our thoughts, our words, and how we choose them and say them. So it's going to keep us, as it comes out of Cancer, from running off at the mouth. It's going to keep us from being so introspective that all we're really doing is talking about ourselves. But it's a good grounding phase for everyone. And so as it settles into this, leaves Leo and settles into this this mutable Virgo Earth, it's going to be a good grounding energy for our communication. Now, keep in mind that Virgo can suck the enjoyment out of any situation. It's just that type of energy. When you want to have fun, it's trying to be sensible. You know, do you want sensible shoes or do you want to look stylish? You know, that's what it comes down to, because practicality and diligence are key traits of Virgo. But this is a good time to lay out your plans. Look at what hasn't been working or what is working and you want to do more of, and decide what your next steps will be. And often words are stumbling blocks to our progress. So the sensibility of Mercury being in Virgo will add a greater discipline to our thoughts and our approach to speaking. It also loves writers. So write down what you intend. Good time for outlines. If you outline your plans and then you can get into the details, it's excellent time because the energy Mercury will want you to do that as it sits in that Virgo. So plan, prepare, and then remember that Leo wants you to dance. Plan, prepare, and then dance anyway, because that's what the Leo energy wants. Next Monday, Venus will enter Cancer, and that's our planet of love and harmony and balance, and it's going to enter into that sign of family and home. It's going to be a warm, cuddling, snuggle energy, and it's going to also say, I want you to look at your security and your stability and make sure that you're taking care of you. And we'll talk much more about that next week. But that's kind of the highlights for the week going forward, which leads me into our guest for today. Cynthia Mazzaferro is an international award-winning, best-selling author and highly sought transformational and inspirational speaker. As a retired physical therapist, ergonomist, and founder of Industrial Ergonomics and Educational Services, she spent over 25 years teaching, evaluating, and playing an integral role rehabilitating, and empowering others. Now, she recognizes that not all physical symptoms have physical origins. Many originate from self-limiting beliefs, behaviors, and emotionally trapped energies. So she works with people in individuals, in groups, or in the corporate arena, featuring the Powerful Beyond Measure and Power Within programs. Today, she's here to talk with us about her book, Powerful Beyond Measure, 3 Steps to Claim Your Power Within for a Happy and Healthy Life. Cindy, I want to welcome you to Good Vibrations Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today.
Excellent. And I'm looking forward to it as well. And I'm very glad you joined us. Now, in Powerful Beyond Measure, you talk a little bit about your personal journey as well as your professional journey. And it's punctuated, in my opinion, by these little tidbits of saying that, one, none of us are ever immune from the forces that attack us or attract us or challenge us. We're all a part of it. But yet you've taken the time to research and determine what you feel allows us to move past our, what I'm still call traumas or wounds, and move into having a life where we feel control of our power. So would you share a little bit with the listeners what led you to create your Powerful Beyond Measure program and then obviously record those steps here in the book?
Sure, I definitely would love to. And I'd like to just follow up because it really is aligned with what you already have said so much already in the introduction of this radio show today. And that is that we all have lessons to learn on a spiritual level. And that when you remember that you're actually born into this life for a particular purpose or a growth potential, there's a curriculum you need to learn and attend to. And so, of course, we don't know what that is. We forget that when we're born into the physical body. But our situations, our perceptions of what is happening, especially early on, usually before the age of 8, when our brain is a soft sponge-like, organ that actually takes in information, takes in our perception, and that is all going to be in alignment with your soul lesson. And so as we've all been impacted and wounded, as you say, energetically and emotionally, it is through the learning and growing, which you also referred to earlier, that allows us to get our greater expansion, to be able to enlighten ourselves and to become aware of what ultimately we all need to relearn, and that is that we are divine sparks of love and parts of the Creator. And that is really what my book is all about. My book's all about personal empowerment, personal responsibility, and to really awaken to this power within ourselves that each of us have, that allows us to see our greatness, to see our remarkable spiritual gifts that we've been given, that are who we are, that what makes us special and unique to each spirit. And it's when we really walk into that presence of who we are, the divine presence of who we are, not the misinterpreted, judged or criticized human being that we believe we are, but to really see our greatness in our spiritual self and in our human form, that's when we can actually really be aligned with our destiny, what it is that we're supposed to fulfill in this lifetime. And when you get to understand that, oh my gosh, the universe, the flow in which you move and respond in your day-to-day activities opens up to an energy and a field, almost like the wind's pushing you along. Or if you're in the current, a current is propelling you forward that supports everything for your greatest good. And there tends not to be as many obstacles. Doesn't mean our life is perfect, but that the obstacles are small little pauses. I love your little reference to speed bumps. It has us to slow down. We may be missing an integral part of what we need to learn. Maybe we need to take a slight detour. Maybe we need to wait for other resources to come to us, or when divine timing is perfect, for us to advance to the next part of our life. So all of this really goes into helping the individual to realize that they get to have the realization that they create their own happiness, not the others around you, not circumstances, that we need to take ownership, that it's our perception that we create our happiness. And we also create our unhappiness, so that if you're unhappy, then you choose to be unhappy. Now, that doesn't mean when something goes wrong that you can't be disappointed, scared, afraid, whatever the word you want to use. But that doesn't mean that you have to be unhappy. You can be still a happy, joyful soul and be able to rise to the occasion to resolve the conflict, to learn and grow, and to see it from a different perspective. So it's all opportunities of growth and expansion. So I wanted to preface that a little bit before I actually shared why I wrote this book, how I was divinely led to write this book. But I hope that makes sense to you, Salazar.
Whoops. Oh, it does. It absolutely does. And I think the key that I want to emphasize for the listeners is something that you said earlier, is taking responsibility. The key element for all of us at all times, as you share in Powerful Beyond Measure, is that we have to take responsibility for ourselves, our lives, and all of our experiences. And once we do that, we then have the ability to move forward with them. So thank you.
And also, when you take that ownership that you are empowering yourself to experience a life, happy, sad, ill, healthy, that's all based on you, that when you take that, you become powerful in the sense that you realize that you have a powerful impact on your reality. And that by claiming your own power, you are disempowering the circumstances outside of you. So that means your boss is not making you feel sad, or the children, when they walk in, you might feel disrespectful. It's not the children's fault. It may be because your sensitivity of feeling underappreciated has much deeper roots from your childhood, and that no matter what the children did, you're still going to feel disvalued because you yourself feel unvalued in your own presence of being who you are. And so it's when we rise above within ourselves to again see the spark of light. I like to say, think of yourself as a star in the sky. And this star is so brilliant. It, you know, the type of energy that illuminates and reaches so far, that's you. And that we kind of put on the Harry Potter cloak of invisibility. We dim our light. We make ourselves not seen in the greatness that we are. And if you believe in a higher source, God, universe, creator, whatever word you use that resonates with your belief, that is your brilliance, that you're part of that. And so we need to really step into that. And when you do, the ultimate result is that you become powerful beyond measure, not powerful over someone else. Powerful within your own right to create miracles, to walk a line with what you're supposed to be doing and touching the world and others, and bringing joy and prosperity into your heart and your life and your experiences. So it's very amazing. So let me shift it to the book a little bit more about why this is such a really beautiful vehicle to help people understand what is going on in their life. And so the book is divided up into three segments. The first one is exploring your past and easing your pain. And as you said, and most of us understand this to be true, we've all had some emotional pain or some limiting belief, even an expectation that is still impacting us today in our adult life or teenage life, whatever it might be. And for me in my book, it was actually, my parents got divorced when I was 7. And so for me, I couldn't understand as a second oldest child, how can someone love you like a father and then just walk out of your life? I just didn't understand. It was totally two contradictory concepts that just did not make sense. Now, my older sister, who was 9, thought the divorce was blamed on her mother. She blamed it on her mother not being the perfect wife, that you didn't do enough to make this healthy. My 9-month-old sister had no recollection of her father. So each of us was imprinted, affected, wounded differently based on where we were in the family line and also based on what we need to learn as a spiritual soul. So for me, I really wanted all this affirmation, especially for men, because I had only 4 sisters, no father, no brothers. So I really was longing for external confirmation that I was remarkable. I was great. You know, daddy's little apple of his eye. And, you know, this is what I was searching for. I was longing. I had such a thirst. And no matter what people said to me, even though I was, you know, a professional businesswoman, I really taught mostly men, really, when I went into industry, that it just still never satisfied my inner need to be fulfilled, to be reinforced. And so not realizing it, I just kind of did my own personal work. But I still always had this emotional attachment to not having a father. You know, I talk about my father, I have tears in my eyes and sadness to think he wasn't there for my wedding when he walked me down the aisle, wasn't there for the daughter father dance, all these things that he wasn't there to be able to be part of. And then, you know, go forward, jumpstart forward 35, 40 years, my husband came down one day and tears in his eyes as he spoke in a very soft manner, "I love you, but I can't live with you anymore." It was like, my goodness, how can you love someone and not live with them and walk out of their life? History was repeating itself. So what happens in this first third of the book, you actually get to connect the dots. Steve Jobs actually wrote in his, spoke in his graduation speech at Stanford University that we need to connect the dots to our past to be able to see our present. And this is a really integral component to why what makes someone successful? Successful in meaning, how do I stop these negative thoughts and beliefs and emotions and the pain that resides, actually has taken up residence within your body? Because it actually structurally changes the biology within us. And so understanding and being able to articulate the aspect that's really affecting you, that's also aligned with your soul lesson, then allows you to step into that growth potential, step into the opportunities that's going to allow you to grow and expand and to learn those soul lessons. Does that make sense to you before we get into the next part of the book?
That does.
Great. So then we move into the second third of the book, and it's about embracing your present, you know, in the present form, but also your presence. Stepping into your presence and embracing and loving, learning to love yourself, being able to forgive yourself, being able to really see that you are this star that we talked about, this brilliant light. You have gifts, you have passions, and how do you come alive? How do you really embrace your light? And, you know, you spoke so poignantly about this earlier on in the introduction, and that we need to step into that greatness. And in my book, there's lots of ways to different practices, different techniques, different resolution issues that really helps you in the present day, because we can only live in the present. We cannot live in the past and we cannot live in the future. We only have now to live within. And so these tools will actually help you to create the now experience the way you want to have it fulfilled. Very empowering and very healing on every level possible, emotionally, spiritually, physically, just amazing. And then the last third of the book is actually envisioning your future. And that's filled with limitless possibilities. You are this miraculous light. You can do so much. And bringing that into the present, how do you bring your future aspirations, your goals, your desires, how do you create them and have them be fulfilled and bountiful in the present day? And that's the miracle that this book really reveals. It's so inspiring, so empowering, and really creates long-lasting results. You know, why do you think so many people continue to search and search and read so many self-help books? Because there's an aspect that many of them lack. And some of it is also because the reader does not put them into practice. You know, we love to read and be inspired and have that hopefulness in our heart. But again, we need to take the ownership. What part can I do? How can I transform my life? And when you step into that ability that you have and you need to, your world transforms in ways that you cannot even imagine in your limited mind. And so that's really what my book title is about. It's claiming or awakening to that power within yourself. And when you do, that allows you to be powerful beyond measure in your life and in every aspect of it. So it's really remarkable.
Within each section of your book, also a nice little, for those who like mnemonics, you actually created your chapters all flowing with the word power. In other words, in part one, where you talk about explore your past and ease your pain, the first chapter is power of your past. And the second chapter is own your story. And third chapter is wounds and self-limiting beliefs. Then it goes to energy and emotional pain, and then repetitious patterns. And you do that in each of the sections where you're kind of reinforcing that sense of power. And I believe you made this point. I'd just like to build on it for the listeners, is that power really comes from within us and not external to us. And as you pointed out, one of the things we do with our inner wounds is we tend to look for external sources to heal those wounds instead of going within. And what I felt came out of your story, starting with the divorce and the journey you took leading to your husband's coming down with tears in his eyes saying he loved you, but he needed to leave, is that we go through various steps in our journey, and that tends to throw a lot of people off. They forget that we've never fully arrived, and I'm not sure that even Buddha himself would have said that he fully arrived in life. It's always a journey of evolving and going to the next step. And sometimes we think, why is this happening to me, when actually it's just the next step of our learning.
Right, exactly. And you know, I don't know if you've read the entire book, but there's a section closer to the future, the third section, where the words I had always wanted my biological father to say, which never happened, which I longed for in other relationships, okay, that my stepfather, my mother remarried as when I was an adult woman, so he really wasn't my stepfather, but that was his title, right? He actually had Alzheimer's, and he also had macular degeneration, and he was deaf from the war fighting in the plains. And so he died in December, and in January, I booked a trip to go to France to paint with other artists in plein air. And come September, 9 months later, I got an email alert, you know, do you want to buy tickets to go see James Van Praagh? And if you don't know who that gentleman is, he's a medium who speaks to spirits, departed ones from this physical life. And so I ended up going with my husband, and it was supposed to be my mother, but she backed out. So another dear friend who has her husband had died. And so we went there, and there were 3,000 people there, some with baby booties and all trying to connect with someone that has gone on. And what was amazing was that James Van Praagh stood there on the stage front, and he would have a spirit come to him, and the spirit would say things, and he would articulate them to the audience, and it would make sense to someone. And so what he said was, I'm looking for a woman whose father died less than a year ago. His name is Bill, who also went to France to paint and also has a dog named Jasmine, or had a dog named Jasmine. So all of those things were true statements for me. And I bring this up because I want to tell you how the next thing that happened was so profound for me, but it's also the spirit, the pearl of wisdom that lies within my book and that we all need to hear. So James Van Praagh, you know, had said this. I stood up. They brought a microphone to me. I couldn't believe it because Bill was a very kind of quiet man and really was not very demonstrative or very emotionally there and present for me. But he said, and I was struggling because I was going through this marital confusion or unrest within our relationship. So I was trying to change and be the wife he wanted and a lot of unrest within myself, you know, not sure what to do, what not to do. So I wasn't really being true within myself. So here Bill is on stage. He says his comment to James in Prague, and then James then says it to me. And his first words out of his mouth as I stood up was that you are perfect just the way you are and not to change for anyone. And it was like I couldn't believe it. I started trembling, thinking, here I've been in such unrest within myself, trying to be everything to keep my husband here in our relationship. And here I'm hearing from the father that I've always wanted to have by my side to tell me I was perfect. And that's what we all like to hear from our parents, right? And subsequent to that, I wonder, even though he said his name was Bill, it was my stepfather, I now relate to that as it was actually my heavenly father saying to each one of us was that we are all perfect in his eyes, even with our imperfections, and not to change for anyone, and that we need to claim our oneness with him and within ourselves. And when you do that, you step into this amazing beauty within yourself, this sanctuary, this peaceful state of being, and that resonates with what you're supposed to be doing and learning and growing, where it's filled with miracles. And I'm telling you, I show so many miracles in my books and show how the energy from it, just people reading it will email me and say, oh my gosh, the miracles that come to me all the time now are just amazing because you're in flow with what you're learning and growing and you're aligned with your destiny. So I offer that as information to everyone that's listening is that we need to see our greatness. We need to see that we are this amazing soul in a physical body, but that we can really have a wonderful, glorious life. And that our journey is filled with such anticipation, hope, and really abundance that we need to open up and to harvest and let it touch our life.
One of the things that struck me about your book is that it's not just a book that you read, it's also a workbook. And you asked a question earlier. You said, why do people, you know, keep buying books and buying things? And it goes back to something you also touched on, which is we still have to do the work. And you ask us in Powerful Beyond Measure to do the work, to identify the areas, to identify the needs going forward, to identify the various steps of our healing and growth. Now, outside of workshops, when you say people have written to you, have these people been very engaged about I'm doing the work and this is what I'm getting out of it?
Oh, very much so. Very much. I actually have created some video testimonies. Everybody writes these wonderful 5-star reviews on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but I said, you know, it'd be great to actually have a body on video that actually says how did it transform their life. And, you know, all ages. I had a 10-year-old in a library. Today I had an 8th grader, just someone going into 8th grade. I actually was at a library earlier today. And I asked him, what do you want most out of life? And he said, I want to be remembered. And he had a very quiet voice. And I said, what do you want to be remembered for? And he says, that I was able to touch and impact the world. And I said, that's a beautiful gift. And I said, and so then I kept quizzing him more and making him think deeper. You know, how does that accomplish that? And it came out that he really didn't feel that he was heard. He didn't feel that when he spoke, people really respected what he said. And it's ironically that he participated in this workshop that I was giving. And his mother is actually a part-timer at the library. She was a librarian. She was overhearing this. And what he perceived as his weakness, his teachers actually told the mother and the conferences, parent conferences, that when he doesn't speak a lot, but when he speaks, the entire class listens. And they think that his words are so profound. And so a part of that whole conversation here is that this young boy, this young man, needs to realize that he needs to value and see that he has really pertinent and beautiful messages that can touch the world, and that he will be remembered, but he needs to grow and mature and walk the journey that allows him to see his greatness and his wisdom, that he can be an orator, he can express himself, and that even though others see him, he needs to see that in himself to be able to really fulfill his destiny and to be able to have an impact and be remembered in this world. So we all have a growth continuum, if you will. You know, we don't just go from birth to, okay, full maturation and we're here. We have a life filled with difficulties, pain, imprinting, wounds, whatever words you want to use, protective mechanisms we implement so we're not hurt. And all these things we have to put together. We have to put together the puzzle pieces. You know, we've all done as a child, connect the little dots, you know, number one, number two, number three. You connect all these numbers, and by the time you connect all the numbers, you see an image, right? An image is revealed. And so that's what we need to do. We need to go back and connect all these dots of our past and say, oh, now I get it. This is what I have to step into. This is what I've been running away from or turning away or fearful to experience. And I have to step into this because this is aligned with what I'm growing and learning. And when you make this magical and really amazing revelation and understanding of what you're here for, oh my gosh, that's when your life just expands exponentially. And what comes to you is just so filled with really peace within, happiness in your heart. You know, you're feeling alive because you're actually living the journey that you're supposed to be getting to and really walking. It's truly amazing.
And I don't know if you've done any of this, but I felt that your book aligned with it. You know, just last Thursday, of course, John Bradshaw, who's the author of Homecoming, Reclaiming Your Inner Child, passed, unfortunately. And a lot of the inner child work, which he kind of distilled, is really about finding those inner wounds that we've carried forward as our childlike wounded self into adulthood. And I feel that you touch on a lot of that, especially when you get into your events in life and trying to identify those events, those significant events, and how they impacted you. And one of the areas that he touches on, which we've already touched on, of course, is the responsibility. But he doesn't touch, as you do, onto the purpose in life in quite the same way. And I'm not here to talk about his stuff. I actually just did a whole series of shows on him and the inner child. But what do you feel is there a general purpose in life, or do we each have individual purposes in life?
That's a really good question, too. I really believe we all have individual curriculum chapters, if you will. Think of like the opening of a book. This is your life's book that you're supposed to be learning. And if you believe in the Akashic Records, which is like the library in the sky, if you will, you've lived many spiritual lives, okay, in different forms. And so you have a curriculum you're supposed to learn here. But ultimately, the final chapter in any book that you live is learning to love yourself and realize that you are perfect and not to change for anyone, that you are this part of this greater God, creator, universe, and that is our ultimate lesson for all of us, to live and be love and experience love and see love through ourselves and through the eyes and heart that we live, you know, how we see others, how we experience situations. I mean, how many of you have walk along a sidewalk and really don't take in nature? You miss the beauty. You miss the love, the vibration, the energy. So ultimately, we all have to fall in love with ourselves again. And then it is through our eyes and our own oneness with our love that then we can see the love in others. You know, the greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself, not love your neighbor greater than yourself. So as we can love ourselves more, we can love others, our neighbors more. And so it's really important. You know, Dr. Wayne Dyer, another person who has gone on last year, June, I believe it was, wrote a book, and it's had. I was actually writing my book as his was published. I was almost done, and it has the same theme in the sense that he says one of his most recent books was "I Can See Clearly Now." And what he does is he goes back through all his past, and he says, you know, all these times I did this to help others. Okay, I was in training, I was in evolution of what my greater work was as an adult man, and that was, now I have clearer sight to my path, to my vision, to my life's work, my destiny. And I had to walk that path and experience the difficulties. And also, I was in training. I got to learn what I needed to and step into that to now see that greatness as, you know, my life unfolded. And I thought it was a powerful book. And the same thing, I said, you really can change the way you look at your past. So I now don't look at my parents' divorce, it was both of them, of course, as a detrimental event in my life. I really can say that. I used to cry and kind of get sad when I'd say that he wasn't there. But I don't now. I actually say thank you for not being there, because it allowed me to grow and learn this lesson of filling myself from within, not looking from outside and going to a gas station to fill up with love. Because that just kind of goes right through you. It's not sustainable. And if he had stayed around, he was a very strong, assertive, aggressive man, military man, very disciplined, very structured, I would not have been able to learn my opportunities of what I need to learn to be able to grow, experience that myself, and then write this book where I can touch millions of people. So, you know, when you look at your past and you start to explore that and self-discover it again, you'll start to change the energy around it. And I want to talk a little briefly about this, because I think this is another aspect that so many people don't talk about. And that is that our memories, our pains, our wounds, even our emotions have an energy to it. And so for me, of course, you know, I had that energy about people walking in my life. There was a loneliness that, you know, or an absence of people walking out, that disconnect. And so that can reside, that energy resides within our body, our physical body. It takes up residence, just like it has an address. And if you were a type of a person that feels powerless, like other people are aggressive and assertive, you tend to be the follower, then that's going to show up in your stomach region. That's our chakra area of power. And so you feel powerless. So you're going to be more, tend to have problems with digestion, irritable bowel syndrome, hernias, because things rupture open, you're powerless, things like that. If you feel unsupported in life, it might be your pelvic genital region or your low back, where the low back can't support your stature in what you're doing in life. So what's really wonderful in my book, obviously we talk about this, and I give you lots of tables of if you're having pain or symptoms in this area, what could that mean? And it helps you again to discover, articulate, identify the areas that you're growing and learning from. Because we cannot insulate ourselves where we say, oh yeah, I had alcoholic parents. Yeah, I'm not going to be an alcoholic parent. You know, I don't, you know, I have no empathy for them. You know, I'm resistant to, attracted to partners that have alcohol. I'm just, you know, I've protected myself and I'm very judgmental against them because that's how I was affected. And so maybe through this process, a way to look at it is, why did that parent drink? Why was he excessively drunk? Can you imagine the pain that he held within himself? That for him to have to numb himself so much from the pain of not being, whatever word you want to use, put in the fill in the blank, that was his way to cope, to silence the pain. Doesn't mean what he or she did, whether it was a mother or father, did to the wife, the spouse, the children. It didn't matter about that. It's about being empathetic to see that we all have pain, and we are, our brain protects us from feeling pain, and we all do that in a different way. But so your lesson might be, maybe you eventually work with alcoholism to show people that that's a numbing way that you're hiding the truth. Maybe you have to hide, figure out what you're hiding the truth is. So going through your whole process in life and growing and learning is going to ultimately get you to what you need to learn individually as a soul within this lifetime. And it all comes down to loving yourself and loving others.
And I love that. And I think that that's a very powerful message for everyone to gather, is that I find too many people who feel that they need to be told what to do in life, that they're missing something. And what they really forget is they need to start by loving themselves. And when they love themselves, they make loving choices. And I believe personally that that's our journey in life, is to learn to love ourselves so that we can be the best representation of ourselves. And we get so tied up in all this other stuff. You know, an interesting story about an alcoholic father was two boys who were raised by an alcoholic father. And one became a very successful lawyer, very prominent, never drank a day in his life. And the other one became an alcoholic. And when they were interviewed, they asked the prominent lawyer why he never drank and what led to his success. He said, well, it was because I had an alcoholic father. And the other one, who became an alcoholic, they asked, why did you become an alcoholic? He said, it's because I had an alcoholic father. And so I think, as you point out, is that we make the choices of what we're going to do. But going back to the very beginning of Powerful Beyond All Measure, when you shared, and I want to reemphasize this for the listeners, is that if you pick up the book, you really need to pick it up, not just to read, but to do the work for yourself, because it's about what you're doing for yourself in order to heal and move forward from the things that have held you back.
It's so true. You're exactly right. No one can impact you unless you choose to be impacted yourself. And we have a choice. You have free will right now as you're listening to this interview. Oh, I've heard this before. I've read many books before. Why is this any more special? And, you know, you need to do the work. You need to integrate it, to empower yourself to say, I have to take responsibility for my life. Stop putting this about everyone else, based it on the authority figures, based it on our government or religion or culture or parents or siblings that did something wrong. Stop that. You're disempowering yourself. And it's really not that hard when you actually say, I'm committed to feeling different about myself, wanting to find joy in who I am, to experience that I'm a great person. I'm not perfect. Nobody is perfect. But if we live in love from a loving heart and with ourselves and with the world, you will experience love and joy in your heart and your life. It's that simple. You know, law of attraction, what we give out, we get back. Well, the more you can experience love within yourself, the more that love will enter your life. It's the same thing, but it has to start within yourself. And you mentioned this workbook. So the book actually has all these exercises you have to complete and encouraged to complete. And you do this as kind of like your own private investigator. You don't have to relive these wounds, you don't have to relive these situations. Like if you went to a psychiatrist, they want you to lay down and tell me the story. How'd that make you feel? Like really relive the whole thing. No, this is about, you've already relived it. You probably have relived these memories so many times in your mind that they're not even factual anymore. We have so many versions and additions, if you will. They become very distorted. Our past is so distorted and so untrue that we can't even claim and know what is the true truth. And so by doing this work, you're actually going to look for how you came to understand this. You know, oh, I can see how I came to understand it. Yes, I was always in charge of my siblings. I was the younger, older child. I'm always in charge of people. I have to take care of their problems. So here you are, a 60-year-old, I'm still taking care of my siblings. And they're adults. They're 50 and 40. What are you doing in their business? So part of that is really teaching them and empowering them and getting out of their business and learning that that's not your role, what you do. But in my book, in the introduction, there's a link that gives you 6 free gifts One of them is a workbook, a downloadable Word document of all the exercises in the book and more extra content that you can actually do in that Word document. So you don't have to write in your book. And I encourage you to do this because many people will want to go back and rework through themselves in this book again and again, which you reveal more and more wisdom. And so that way your answers aren't in there from 2017 or 2019. It's very empowering, but it's also wonderful to go back a year later as you've gone through this book to say, wow, I don't remember feeling that kind of energy when I talked about this. Because you're going to have grown. You're going to have to release some of this toxicity within yourself. So it's a great vehicle to see where you've been and where you're going, and it continues to grow. In addition to that, you get two guided meditations. One of them is which I'm going to give you tonight, even if you don't purchase my book. It's a free MP3, audio guided meditation. And it's an actual energetic healing meditation that allows you to take the pain within your body, the energy I spoke about, bring it into your heart and release it. And then we replace it with love and light and all this wonderful things, which then courses through your body. And I've had people respond to me and say, my symptoms totally went away from that, my physical symptoms. Because remember, that's that energy that's trapped in your body that we're releasing. So if I can I tell everyone how to get to that free gift
please.
Right now?
Yeah, please do.
Great. Well, my website is Cynthia Mazzaferro, MAZZAFERRO.com. And then you go / Heart Home of Healing Meditation. So exactly what it is. Your heart is the home and it does healing and it's a meditation. So Heart Home of Healing Meditation. And that's free and you can listen to it over and over again. It's very profound and it's just amazing. So you get 6 free bonus gifts, like I was saying, with this book, Powerful Beyond Measure. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere online, as well as every physical bookstore available. If they don't have it, they can order it. My publisher and distribution arm is worldwide, and it's available to you. Amazon, of course, if you have Amazon Prime, you can get it in one day. So go to Amazon.com, and you can order Powerful Beyond Measure right now. And, you know, even this, having that choice, you get off this radio, you know, show and listening to this, you have a choice. Do I wait? Do I forget? Do I contemplate more? You know, follow your heart. If this resonated with you at all, and you're in a place in your life that you want to create change, you are the change that has to create that change. And this book is a miracle that will totally transform your life and change the way you feel about yourself and the way you experience your life. So it's a miracle waiting to happen in you.
Wow, you are certainly a passionate proponent of powerful beyond measure. And one final thought for the listeners before we cut away is, can you share when you say 3 steps to claim your power within for a happy and healthy life is, how would you like people to think of their happy and healthy life as they start planning and preparing?
Well, most people want to experience a tranquility, an inner sanctuary of total acceptance within themselves, a total resonance of just grace and ease, and realizing that you are supported and loved in every way, and that is all attainable within each one of us. And when you are totally at peace with this this vibration within yourself, that's when you start to realize that I am so much more than what I ever imagined. I have so much power. You have the ability to create miracles. You know that, right, Salazar? We all do. We create miracles all the time, and we're not even aware of it. And this is the power that our voice can have. You can, you know, say a sentence, and that can stop from someone from committing suicide. You can say something that is so profound that day to someone that it ripples through them and that they can go give the best speech of their life, and that which impacts another 100 people. So we are so powerful, and we realize, when you realize this, that you just can't even conjure up in your mind. We've all heard of vision boards, and you put up a vision board what you want. Well, this is beyond measurable, beyond what you can measure. This is beyond what you can envision. And this is the way your life will exponentially grow and change. And it's, I'm really truthfully tell you this. For me, every day, you had mentioned how you do a ritual. You do a gratitude, you know, understanding. You do a prayer. So another part that I do every morning is I say, I believe in God, so I use God. God, this is an amazing day. I am so open to everything you bring to me, and I am ready to embrace all these wonderful opportunities, people that come into my life, and I'm just so excited and are hopeful to experience them with the greatest of ease and to walk into that. So something like that. But, I mean, and when you do that, you're already creating energy, right, that the day is going to be spectacular. It's going to be filled with miracles. And that's exactly what happens. I feel like I am pushed from behind, sometimes physically by angels, that I know I am pushed and really guided that this is the path. And that's what happens with everyone when you fully engage and participate in this personal growth. And I love that you keep stressing that, because you are so right. We need to take that ownership and be wanting to put the effort into that, that potential and personal growth.
Well, I have to tell you, Cynthia, I appreciate, one, you reached out to me, and I appreciate you doing that to be on the show. And I love the work that you've done here in your book, but I really love the passion with which you've expressed it this evening. The way you get it across, it's beyond heart-centric. It is a passion that says this is what will help people in their lives. And you want them to know it. You want them to hear it. And you want them to take action. So I hope for those, as you said, that it resonates with, that feel a call or a connection, will please seek it out. As Cindy mentioned, it's CynthiaMassafero.com. Go to her website. Go ahead and order the book. Go ahead and get your free Heart Home of Healing Meditation. And when you get the book, you'll be able to get your downloads of workbooks. And if you had one message to give people today from what you're sharing, what would that be? What would you like them to hold on to?
That your deepest fear is actually that you are inadequate. And that I'm here to tell you, just like my stepfather said to me and my spiritual father said to me, that you are perfect and that we need to not change for anyone. We need to step in to who you are. You are amazing. You are an amazing light, and you have so much to give for yourself and the world. And to really seek that within yourself, because your light will be so, so supportive and loving to the world.
Well, Cindy, please hold on for a minute. I love that you shared that. And also at the back of her book, she shares the full quote from Marianne Williamson from A Return to Love Reflections of Our Deepest Fear is Not That We're Inadequate. Our deepest fear is we're powerful beyond all measure. And the reason I brought that up, since Cindy brought that up, is it's too often attributed to Nelson Mandela, but it is originally from Marianne Williamson. I want to remind folks that Good Vibrations Radio will be back next Monday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, with Linda Starr Wolf and Nita Gage talking about their book, Soul Whispering, The Art of Awakening Shamanic Consciousness. I thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio today. Remind you, take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Go ahead and look up Cynthia Massafero. Her information is on the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com if you missed the website. But whatever you do, please take responsibility, love yourself dearly, and turn your life into the one that you want to live. Many blessings. Namaste. And let's hear a little Sammy Davis as we go out.
whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I gotta be me, I gotta be me.